had a housekeeping measure to take care of first thing, but we are still trolling for another senator. So until we can find one, we are going to go ahead with the continuation of the public hearing on House Bill 5043, which is the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budget bill. And what I'd like to do is call Jeff Huntington, the director, forward, and anyone that you'd like to bring with you to continue the agency overview.
Okay. This is a low seat. That's better. Thank you, Madam Chair. This works very well. I had wanted to spend just about 5 minutes, maybe a few more minutes than five, but just a few, finishing up the overview from yesterday. And I appreciate the time you were willing to spend with my board members, and I hope it was valuable for you. And I know that they came away with a perspective on the kinds of questions and things that are relevant to this building, and I think that's important for them to take back to my board too. So I'm very happy. If you will, I think what I if you're willing to indulge me, I think what I'll do is ask you to go to a couple pages in the binder in the overview and just move through it quickly, and that'll set the stage, and then Linda Gilbert can finish up, and maybe we can take care of this. I want to take a look at, I just want to point out for you anyway, the breadth of the OWEB board on page 4 of the overview, section 1.1.4. You can just take a look and see the different members. I do have a board of 17 members, and it's divided into three categories. I've got 6 citizen members that are appointed and confirmed through Senate confirmation. I have 5 citizen members that are representing each from a different natural resource board or commission that they bring to the OWEB board, and those constitute my 11 voting members. And then I have 6 additional non-voting members, 1 from OSU Extension and 5 federal natural resource agencies. And I thought that's a wonderful piece of the OWEB. The wonderful piece of the role for OWEB is to bring all of those different interests to every meeting, and it is playing out in helpful ways and helping us do some coordination and having input from different perspectives. And I think that plays into one of the reasons that you'll see some of the option packages that we'll be discussing today and perhaps on Thursday relating to monitoring plans for the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watershed. A peculiarity with the OWEB board is that if there's going to be anything funded by my board, out of the 11 votes, there cannot be three no votes equals a no fund. So we don't operate on a straight majority. It really is a close to consensus operation when there's any funding decision to be made, and that is in my statute. It's not a board rule, and so that has prompted a lot of discussion, and as my chair was attempting to say yesterday, a lot of work by the board to figure out what the different perspectives are that are coming to the table and to listen to each other so that they can move through our agenda with funding decisions that are near consensus each time. On page 9, section 1.131, is just a summary of our program services, and I won't go through all of them, but if you want to come back at your leisure or ask me any questions about this, these are just some of the things that OWEB is doing in addition to simply administering a grant program or as part of it. We have an awful lot of assistance that goes out to watershed councils and to soil and water conservation districts in the form of landowner workshops and small grant programs. We provide financial training, fiscal assistance training to watershed councils, or at least we have been in the last several months. And we are attempting to integrate more education opportunities to increase the capacity of the local citizen groups we're working with. And so some of our program services are outlined there. On page 15, fiscal staff mentioned this in his introduction. Mr. Rocco talked about the different revenue sources, and I want to touch briefly on them, because I think they are the foundation of a lot of what we're going to be discussing with program option packages. We work with a lot of different revenue fund sources. And in the last biennium, or the 9901, I have had general funds. The governor's recommended budget, as we'll discuss in a minute, does not contain any general funds as part of OWEB's budget for the 0103. I have a number of different federal fund grants that come and go through the agency, but a recent event in this last biennium that will play a major fixture in the coming years is a $9 million grant from the National Marine Fisheries Service. It's a congressional appropriation to all the Pacific Northwest states to help provide funds to respond to listing decisions of the anadromous salmon. So we are now administering $9 million that came in the door through the emergency board process in the last biennium, and we have in the governor's recommended budget an increase in federal fund limitation that's associated with a recent congressional appropriation of a second $9 million. We have other funds that come from a variety of sources, including the sale of license plates and the sale of salmon-friendly power on a voluntary basis by Salem Electric and Portland General Electric. They're cooperative programs that we work with. We have, as Mr. Rocco mentioned, a continuing issue with a lot of carryover funds from all of the different fund sources, and that is in large part because when we administer our grant program, we operate on a reimbursement basis. So the board approves a grant to expend up to X number of dollars for a particular project activity. We draft a grant agreement that establishes a budget for that grant application project activity, and the applicant, we advance a little bit of money, and then the applicant expends based on that advance and turns in receipts, which we then audit and reimburse as we go forward. And that results in the actual expenditures of our grant programs following the commitment sometimes by quite a number of months or even a year or two, depending on the complexity of the project. And that in turn results in us talking to you about having federal fund carryover and lottery carryover and different fund sources that we track from one biennium to the next. And then lastly, on the revenue sources, I want to mention and spend just a minute on the Measure 66 lottery funds. As Mr. Rocco said, and you probably all are well familiar, we have Measure 66 ballot measure constitutionally dedicated funds that amount to about 7.5% of the lottery revenues coming to be administered through OWEB. Of the 7.5% OWEB receives, that's split into two distinct types of money or eligibility requirements for expenditures. 65% of that money goes into the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund, which is administered according to a definition that's in statute that says that it has to be spent on capital expenditure projects. And actually, that grant fund is constitutionally dedicated, that 65%, for on-the-ground projects, but we defined what that would constitute in statute in the last legislative session. So we administer 65% of the money within the definition of what a capital expenditure is, and that funds the bulk of the on-the-ground kind of projects that we talk about and that you saw on the slides. 35% of that lottery money that flows to OWEB is placed into the Watershed Improvement Operating Fund. And that is not restricted to just on-the-ground projects. It is eligible to be spent on a wide variety of activities, which can include pretty much any kind of program that's supporting the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds, watershed assessments, a whole lot of research kind of things, education, a broad range of program kind of issues. Then there's a third account that takes all the interest from those first two, and that is put into a research account that the 1999 legislature identified as taking the interest and using that and reserving it for research-type activities that would support information needs that we have in the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds. I operated out of the first two accounts. The third account, there was no expenditure limitation given to OWEB in the 99-01 biennium. And by agreement with folks in this building, we decided that we wouldn't ask for expenditure limitation until the board had developed a strategy for actually investing funds in research instead of being responsive. And the strategic plan that you've been provided talks about a strategy that the board adopted in January. The governor's recommended budget does not request authorization for me to expend from that account, that research account, in the coming biennium. But I anticipate probably coming to the e-board in the fall when we actually put the, when the OWEB board is in the position of having developed a priority list of research objectives that we would like to invest in, and then coming in and asking for authorization to access that account to put out requests for proposals for research. We thought that was a prudent way to take it, and one bite at a time, so everybody could see where we were going. And we also feel like that'll be the best way we can leverage the state dollars that are in that research fund and get a fair amount of federal and other fund sources as part of the research accounts.
Questions or comments from the committee? Representative Krieger.
Chair Morgan, talk to us a little bit about your research projects. What are the type of things you think you need to do to get the information you need to do your job better?
Well, we're viewing research in broader context than just OWEB, and looking at that account as being part of what a bank account for the state to access to identify, take on research questions that will best support the implementation of the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds. And the way the board has approached that was to ask first, and it's strategy 9 in our strategic plan, but is basically ask the IMST, the Oregon Plan Science Panel, to give us their first list of significant research issues that they view need to be tackled by the state in order to get a handle on some information that they think is critical for plan implementation. Turn that over to the OWEB board, which they have just done in the last 30 days. And we then committed that we would then take that list of priority research items and move it out to a broader group of stakeholders. And we would work through this summer taking it for folks to respond to. Tribes, different interests, agricultural and forest interests. I want to hear what the university system has to say. I want to get a combined list of responses to the IMST's identification of what the research priority should be and additions to the list, and then put that in a some kind of form that is more of a consolidated list that everybody can look at and say, all right, here is the aggregate of what folks say are the most important things that we need to be getting more information on as we go about implementing the plan. And then having the board sort that through and propose a ranked priority list of what they want to take on first, moving on down depending on the fund availability. And at that point, work with the university system, probably we hope anyway, the Natural Resource Institute at Oregon State University and the IMST, to put out a request for proposals from individuals that are interested in responding to conducting the research that's been identified and once we have the funds available. That's the approach that the board has landed on, rather than from the outset having the OWEB board say, we think this is the most important research. We didn't feel like we were qualified to do that, and we wanted to hear from a number of folks before we went down that path.
Further questions or comments? Please proceed.
On page 16, then, on section 1.10, you can see just in a spreadsheet form the broad overview of how we've constructed the governor's recommended budget for the agency. And this will be repeated in a couple places in the binder, but the first thing I wanted to note with this was just the difference of how we have separated out agency operations from the grant program. And you can see on the agency operations side that we are operating on a little over $3 million base budget, and that under the governor's recommended budget moves to a little over $4 million. And on the grant program side, you can see that the base budget is around 51.5, and that we are taking a $3.7 million reduction in general funds for a total of $61 million grant fund program. I guess what I wanted to make sure that I pointed out, and what's most useful about this to me, are a couple of things. First, of that $61 million grant program total, $19 million of that is carryover or carry forward from different funds. And so that figure looks significantly larger than it did in the previous biennium. But if you subtract off the $19 million that are amounts that are already committed for grants in 9901, the figure comes down to be much, much closer to what the program was operating on in the last biennium. And there's not a heck of a lot of difference between the governor's rec budget and our current budget in terms of total dollars that will be available for grants. The second thing that I think is useful to see in this is that, as we're talking, we did have $3.7 million in general fund available for the program in the 99-01 biennium. That has been backed out of the OWEB budget, and we will be operating without any general fund revenue in the coming biennium. And Measure 66 money that was supporting other things around other agency programs has been pulled back in order to cover the cost of some of the additions to our budget and the option packages that we're discussing. So OWEB will move to be a Measure 66 organization in whole with federal fund supplement and other fund supplements for its grant program in the coming biennium as a basic structure for our budget.
Questions or comments?
Okay.
Back to you.
Then 1.11, I think is just a useful sheet that I use when I'm talking to stakeholders and constituencies that we put in the binder. This just gives you a sense of where ballot measure 66 lottery funds are allocated. And some of it's to OWEB, and a lot of it in different parts are to different agencies. Operating, the column for operating is that 35% fund that I was mentioning earlier, and the capital is that capital expenditure count, the 65%. And you can just get a sense based on this of where the Measure 66 money is spent. I will not be in the way the governor's recommended budget is proposed anyway. I will not be relying on Measure 66 non-capital funds for my grant program. And anything that's not a capital expenditure project on the ground, grant application, will be funded out of federal funds or other funds in the agency program in the coming biennium. And that's the result of the way the allocation of Measure 66 funds is accomplished on this table, as well as the backing out of the $3.7 million in general funds that was available in the last biennium. That was the last few details that I wanted to just put in front of you as part of the agency overview. And if you don't have any questions for me, I'll be happy to yield the table to Department of Administrative Services.
I believe Representative Krieger has a question.
Chair Morgan, your Watershed Council support, is that the fees for coordinators included in that?
Yes. Representative Krieger, and actually you're being more accurate than I was in my last statement. I look at the Watershed Council support as a more of a program grant structure than a project, but that's correct. The $4.1 million in the spreadsheet on Measure 66 is council coordinator support funds.
And that does not really adequately pay the total cost of those positions. Are they still out getting grants to help pay for their wages, so to speak?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krieger, the answer to your question is I believe, in my opinion, it is not enough for Watershed Council coordinator support in the state. But I do believe, on the other hand, that it does provide a good core or foundation for support of watershed councils across the state. And it is an amount that is, I think, adequate to be a good foundation that with the recognition and a very clear recognition that it's that in order to have fully functioning and effective councils, we're going to have to build on that by helping find other fund sources for councils, and that they will be out, many of them, looking for local match money, and that OWEB will be out as a board applying to foundations and other places to find non-state funds to also help support councils.
Madam Chair, this has been a concern of mine when I was on the board, clear back when Louise Soliday was there, that these councils need that daily leadership there, someone that's actually taking care of the details, because they're all volunteers that belong to these watershed councils. and the on-the-ground, day-to-day things just do not get done when we don't have those people in place. And instead of having 100% of their time available to address the needs of watersheds, they're taking a certain percentage of their time and trying to find their wages. And I don't know where else in government it would be like telling Jeff, we're going to pay you $5,000 of your wages, the rest of it you're going to have to get the grants to cover it. It's one of the most places we're lacking. If the Oregon Plan is important, if endangered species is important, if stream restoration is important, and working with the landowner groups is important, I think we need to do as much as we can there. I think we actually fall down there. And I've seen what happens when they don't have them. Those watershed councils don't make much headway.
Good point. Further questions or comments? Linda Gilbert from DAS, if you would like to present us with the governor's recommended budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Linda Gilbert, Department of Administrative Services, Budget Management. Mr. Rocco is distributing my handout, and I will wait to begin until you all have it. I know it sounded like a beer, but it wasn't.
Kind of like a tavern. Sound like a tavern clock to me.
Representative Lowe, if I were sitting where you are, I'd need caffeine too, I'm sure. So.
Especially after the lunch we had. I apologize. Much of what I'm going to cover has been covered already by Mr. Huntington and Mr. Rocco, so that will enable me to go through it rather quickly. Beginning on page 2 of the handout, we see that the trend budget has grown from $22,097,99 to $65.6 million in 2103, and the governor's recommended, but as has been stated, that includes about $19 million in carry-forward limitation. On page 3, the governor's recommended budget is a 49.9% increase from the 9901 legislatively approved budget. Included in the recommended budget is a way to stabilize Oregon Plan funding for watershed councils, as we've just discussed, fully funding IMST, the science team. It also funds the Willamette Restoration Initiative and provides needed fiscal staff for OWEB itself. It includes new federal funds of $9 million and carryover limitation of $3 million for grants that had been awarded from federal funds but not expended. It also includes $10.5 million of lottery fund carryover limitation, again for grants that had been awarded but not yet expended in the 9901 biennium. Page 4 shows the governor's recommended budget by fund type, with ballot measure 66 lottery funds being the lion's share at 71%, other funds 3%, and federal funds at 26%. And again, these amounts include the carry forward. Page 5 shows the budget by program, and essentially there are two. Grants certainly are the largest section of it, and then operations, which would be the in-the-office operation kind of thing. Page 6 breaks the budget down into budget categories. Special payments is the largest part, and again, that covers the grants that are committed and issued and paid. Personal services is 4.6%, services and supplies 4%, and capital outlay 0.02% at $15,000. Page 7 begins the process of building governor's budget. There were emergency board actions through April 2000 totaling $1.4 million. $520,000 in federal funds. Additional limitation was an adjustment for federal funding that came in a little higher than we had anticipated for 9901. There were $903,000 in other funds for salmon license plate revenues and some publications revenue. And then an additional $3 million of federal funds for the new NIMS funding for Oregon Plan. for current service budget level adjustments, phasing out some lottery funds and other funds carry forward from 97-99. Inflation was calculated at about $100,000. And finally, there was a reduction package of about $500,000 of ballot measure 66 lottery funds because the agency built its budget on the June 2000 forecast, and that particular lottery forecast was down from earlier forecasts. Page 8 begins the policy package section. As Director Huntington has mentioned, there is a program reduction package of $3.7 million general funds, where the general funds were removed from OEB's budget and redistributed to other natural resource agency budgets in exchange for ballot measure 66 lottery funds coming back to OEB. The other agencies were Fish and Wildlife, Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and DEQ. There are 9 total policy packages. 6 of them are related to ballot measure 66 funding, and 3 are federal. And I will begin with the measure 66 funded packages. They total $4.8 million. Package 120 is Oregon Plan Stabilization, about $900,000. It has 4 new positions and 2 transfer positions. The transfer positions are Oregon Plan positions that come over from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's listed as a net zero. It's a net zero to the state, but it's about $352,000 as a minus to Fish and Wildlife and a plus to OEB. There's a position to implement the effectiveness monitoring and Oregon Plan reporting. There are 2 information systems positions to develop a statewide natural resource data and GIS standards for this and other agencies, and a position to develop and maintain an integrated agency database and reporting structure for Oregon Plan monitoring and assessment. And there is an additional support position. Package 110, Fiscal and Grant Management, this is on page 9, is $546,000. It adds 4 positions. This was a result, this package was developed as a result of audit recommendations that came out at the beginning of the current director's term. It adds a fiscal manager and 2 positions to enhance fiscal controls and operations, and then 1 grant payment specialist to handle the growing number of grantees. It continues limited duration positions that were established administratively during 9901, and it also includes an increase in limitation of $25,529, which covers a package that is mirrored in water resources, in that you had approved for in the water resources budget package number 111. And this was to reclassify the water resources person who does federal fund reporting and accounting for OEB. Package 112 is Watershed Council support. This is $1.7 million of ballot measure 66 funding, and it continues the current level of support, but in 9901, federal funds were used rather than lottery funds for the $1.7 million, and that is over and above a base of $2.4 million. Package 118, restoration backfill. As I mentioned earlier, the agency budget was built on the June 2000 forecast of lottery funds. The governor's budget is built on a November 2000 forecast. There was an improvement in that, and so the $413,000 represents the difference between the two forecasts times 7.5%, which comes to over. On page 10, Package 123, capital expenditure grants, and again, this is the part of the improved forecast that goes to capital expenditure. What we just saw before in the $413,000 was the operations portion. There's $1.2 million additional for capital expenditure grants. Finally, package 114, infrastructure support, $44,736, and this is a reclassification package. The expenditure limitation supports 3 reclassifications that had been requested and approved by the agency and by HRSD within DAS. There were also five additional reclassifications that were approved by HRSD after the governor's recommended budget was published, and these are for regional program representatives. There is not limitation to that included in the governor's recommended budget. Page 11 begins the policy packages that are funded federally. Package 116 is the new NIMS funds carry forward. There's $8 million of new funding, or we thought there was $8 million of new funding. A revision as we developed the governor's recommended budget raised this amount to $9 million of new funding for 0103, and there's a $3 million carry forward limitation for the 9901 grants. Package 121 and 122 broke out of the federal funding $500,000 for the Willamette Restoration Initiative, and then another about $500,000 for IMST support. However, after we did that, we realized that we should not have done that, and those two packages are reversed in revisions, which are shown actually starting on page 12. So on page 12, we have a revision to package 121, where it does a fund shift from federal funds to general fund of $500,000. Package 122 for the IMST is a fund shift from federal to a combination of general and lottery funds of $507,000. The lottery fund portion of this is $342,000, and that is because yet another improved forecast for lottery funding between November and March of 2001. And as a result of that, the grant part of the fund would increase by $636,000. And there's also an other funds expenditure limitation carry forward that's been identified as we get closer to the end of the biennium and have a better sense of what's actually going to be spent. That's $425,000. And finally, there's another increase to the capital expenditure lottery funds carry forward of $5.2 million. The final page rolls all of these changes forward into a net carry forward or a net change in revision of $6.3 million. It brings the governor's revised budget to a total of $71.9 million. Of that amount, carry forward is now $24,812,000, or about 35% of the revised budget.
Questions or comments from the committee? With that, then, let's return to agency programs and services and get into the detail presentation. And I will ask Mr. Huntington to again take the driver's seat.
I'll direct you to section 2 of the binder grant program tab. And
it is the section called grant programs, and then they start numbering again.
Okay.
The first two pages, I was glad I put in here for you after listening to some of the questions yesterday. This is the kind of material I provide to my board to help them in budgeting over the course of a biennium. And constituencies or stakeholders that are interested in just tracking how OWEB operates and on what fund sources. The first page, 2.1 of 2.1, is our breakout for all of our constituents, just of how different fund sources come to us and in what numbers and how they get laid out. You'll see the grant fund going from on the left-hand column down, the grant fund, the lottery operating fund, those are the Measure 66 funds, general fund, the Federal Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program funds. You can just insert NIMS money there. That's the $9 million NIMS grant that came in. The research account is identified there, and then we have, if there are other miscellaneous federal funds or other funds that come in. And this just tries to move my board forward to the point where they can see what is available for them to act on. And the right-hand column, working from top to bottom, is essentially where they began a biennium, and this is where they began the 1999-01 biennium. If you turn the page, then those totals kind of translate to the expenditure section, and we keep the same fund sources are listed, and we keep track with our grant cycles of what funds are available and how much money we've spent in any given time. And in 1999-01 biennium, we ran 4 grant cycles. As my chair mentioned yesterday, we've moved to running 6 grant cycles in the coming biennium so that we can turn things around and be a little more accessible. But you'll see each of the grant cycles up at the top there. And some interesting things just to take a look at. If you look at the GWEB board, which was operating a grant cycle in May of 99 and December of 99, and then OWEB took over in June of 2000, you can see the total grants that came in the door, submitted. We've really been running on each of those 4 grant cycles around 200 grants. And in fact, the last 3 grant cycles, and I would say the one that's not on here for that we're dealing with now, have all been within about 5 applications of each other coming in the door. 205, 207 applications each time come in the door. You can see the amounts of money that have requested in that, and then the grants that were approved and the funds that were awarded. In this spreadsheet, you'll see a number of places where we've identified non-grants right beside grants. And an example of what a non-grant is for us is places where the board is earmarking money for special purposes to be used for technical assistance or for watershed assessments. They'll say, let's set aside this much money and we can get it to priority assessments that need to be done, or technical assistance projects, and run a special grant cycle on that, or funds that are transferred to agencies or universities for specific products that we're interested in funding. And an example of that is we transferred $4 million off of our ledger to be made available to the Fish and ODFW to be used for fish screens and fish passage blockage removal. And we did that also at the behest of several budget notes in OWEB's budget and other agency budgets to transfer money to different programs. And so those will show up as non-grants. So each time we go through a grant cycle, we will just subtract off the total amount we've allocated, and then the next column over will say how much money is available for the board. And this shows the roll-up of how the grant program was executed for each of the fund sources for the 99-01 biennium. You can note that the Research Protection Fund shows a balance of about $1.2 million with nothing allocated out of it. If you look at the Lottery Watershed Improvement Operating Fund, you'll see that we began the biennium with about $2.8 million. It was already earmarked in our mind, $2.4 million to go to Watershed Council support and $400,000 for the IMST. So you can see that we blocked that out, and any of the grants that we took on then later came from either general funds, federal funds, or the on-the-ground capital expenditure lottery fund.
Questions or comments?
I guess I have a question.
Representative Lowe.
And it may expose my lack of understanding of how you're... My question deals with how you interact with other agencies and what some of the grant money is used for. I guess I'm having trouble visualizing grant projects. You work with ODOT or other agencies to coordinate efforts, share resources, and that kind of thing. I'm specifically thinking about $69 million worth of culverts that we've got to fix in Clackamas County to make them more salmon-friendly. We don't have the wherewithal to do that. For example, would some of this grant money be able to be used for something like that?
Chair Morgan, Representative Lowe, the short answer is yes. And we have, in fact, funded a number of culvert replacements on privately owned forest lands and working with some counties. And we're getting a big increase in business coming to us from counties and county road programs that are facing routine maintenance and installation of culverts that want to do them in a fish-friendly way to avoid potential take liability in an Endangered Species Act, and they are applying for grants either to cost share the culvert replacement or in some cases outright do it. I think that one of the larger grants that we've done in the Portland metropolitan area has been a culvert replacement for a significant road project, and I hesitate, but I think it's Multnomah County, but I can get you the information on it. That was just such a project. We do allow grants to come in under our statute from state agencies, but in order for a state agency to be eligible to apply for a grant, they have to be partnering or a co-applicant with a watershed council or a district or another entity that's also grant eligible. That was a restriction that was put in our eligibility criteria in the last legislative session. And we do find ways frequently, particularly with Department of Transportation, to partner where they, if they have a fund source that's available to do road maintenance and there's watershed council work that could be done in the context of ongoing ODOT road maintenance to try and partner so we leverage our funds and make them available to local citizen groups that are wanting to be engaged in fish restoration activities.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Bingo, that's exactly what where I want to go with this. What, where does it say in your budget the kind of coordination that you do so that different agencies don't have to duplicate the same effort, the same research, the same, so we all are operating on the same page and so there's some coordination to maximize the use of these dollars around the state. I don't see any interagency piece in the budget.
It doesn't show up as a discrete category, Representative Lowe, but where it is hidden and buried are our acceptance of other funds or federal funds that come into the program, and frequently those are monies that are coming to be matched with lottery money for restoration projects, or in all of those non-grant expenditures that you will see. Each of those represents a place where OWEB was the board allocated some lottery funds or some other funds that we had at our disposal to be supporting a product or a project that was being done in conjunction with another agency or a university system or something some outside the grant process. And examples of that would be we do a lot of data collection where we help fund the creation of new data layers that can be used by different folks. There are other places where that happens more frequently, though, is just informally working through how their budget can be allocated to advance a grant proposal and be used as a match to when a grant applicant comes into OWEB seeking funds, that we can use the funds that are available at ODOT as match money to help the project happen.
One other question, if I could, please.
Well, in the interest of allowing Senator Hannan to continue with what he should be doing, would you consider holding your question until after we deal with the budget note issue?
I apologize, Senator.
Thank you.
Would that be okay?
Of course.
What I'll do then is recess the hearing on House Bill 5043 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5530. And we have here John Fletcher to take us through the changes to the DLCD budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, in preparing the budget report for DLCD and trying to follow the subcommittee's recommendations, we discovered a few discrepancies. We held a meeting with the department, with the DAS-BAM analyst, and with LFO to review the concerns and the associated adjustments that should be made. All parties have now reached agreement, and we urge the subcommittee to consider the technical adjustments as follows. Number one, there's a double count correction that was found in Package 108. In order to correct an error in the PICS totals, a reduction of one FTE and one position is needed. This reconciliation was recommended by BAM to adjust the budget system to eliminate a double count of positions for the department. Number two, there's some suggested budget note narrative changes. This does not change the budget that was passed, but rather reconciles the narrative to that budget total. And this deals with regional problem solving. The totals that were given to us originally by the department need to be corrected in the budget notes. And so budget note number one is amended as shown on your sheet. The general fund total is $157,319. And the positions were limited duration before, but we added that language just to be clear to the auditors when they go through this. And then on the add-back budget note, because we reviewed the positions that were in the budget, the add-back only requires one position instead of two. Again, this is something that the department concurs in, and we're just correcting narrative and technical adjustments.
Are there, is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chairman,
There's no motion.
There's
any
no motion
questions?
Yet, and it was a logistical question I was about to ask about process. Do we need to vote to suspend the rules to reconsider the bill, and then do the reconsideration of the bill, amending in these corrections, and then re-vote on the bill?
The what we need is a motion to accept the joint recommendation of LFO, BAM, and the department to include the technical adjustments to the DLCD budget and move the budget to full Ways and Means with the two-pass recommendation.
So moved, Madam Chairman.
Do we have any discussion on the motion? Are there any objections to the motion?
Question, Madam Chairman.
Representative Hansen.
Are we just voting on the corrections, or are we indeed voting on DuPass recommendation on the
We are just voting on putting the corrections into what we previously passed out.
And then, Madam Chairman, let me clarify my motion. The motion is to make the corrections recommended by LFO.
Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, the motion is passed. Thank you, Senator, very much. We need carriers for the DLCD bill. Would you like to do this?
I'll be happy to carry the bill, ma'am.
Would you carry it in full and also on the Senate floor?
Will do.
And let's see here. Would you carry it in on the House side?
You better not voted no on it.
You better not.
It might be a little safer.
I can't remember how this. Representative Hayden, would you carry this bill on the House floor?
I was avoiding that contact, Madam Chair, but I will.
Thank you. And I will reopen the hearing on House Bill 5043, the Watershed Enhancement Board, and we have a question on the table from Representative Lowe.
I appreciate your indulgence and remembering that I was asking the question. That was pretty good. And it goes like this. Since you're talking about coordinating among the agencies and sharing infrastructure to the greatest extent possible, and you yourself mentioned the concept of sharing data or collecting data necessary to enhance water quality in the state of Oregon, I'm sure that you're aware that pesticide tracking bill was kind of important to the session last go around, and I was wondering if we're having a little trouble getting that data collected in the format that is usable and in a cost-effective way, and since you have some of that infrastructure in place already, I'm wondering whether or not there's been any coordination between your agency and those folks that are responsible for doing the data, collecting data on pesticides.
Chair Morgan, Representative Lowe, there has not been.
Can there be?
And I would say that to date, one of the reasons that we are in with one of the budget packages that we'll discuss, and there's some substantive legislation pending in the form of Senate Bill 946 this session, is that OWEB's ability to do some coordination on data has been, to date, limited to interactions with our fund sources and the needs to have grants to help collect the data or to house the data or to move it into a program that is relevant to watershed councils or soil and water conservation districts. If there has been an agency program that is, no matter how much it is integral to implementing the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds, if it is wholly housed within a particular agency and funded within a particular agency, we have not been part of kind of correlating that data or bringing standardization to it. And I recognize that, along with, I think, all the agency directors, as being a real need and something that we haven't grabbed hold of yet, other than informally. And we're working hard to try and move us that direction. And I think that if passed, Senate Bill 946 will help. That will give OWEB the authority to set standards and protocols that will govern the how natural resource data that is collected for individual agency programs is then made accessible in a way that is accessible to other people that need to use it, and how it'll be integrated in to the clearinghouse for information. To date, the only leverage I have is when we're working on a voluntary data collection program or one that I fund. And our board has made every effort whenever we funded it to require that as a grant condition that the data be collected according to a protocol that allow it to be standardized with other sources.
Madam Chairman, I sure would love to see something in place that encourages that very thing to happen so that we can save money on some of the information technology pieces that the various agencies are trying to implement.
There is, I think, also a huge issue in being able to effectively layer the data on top of each other so that you can look down through it.
Correct.
And be able to correctly get all the information that's known about a place on the ground.
It's my understanding that such a capability requires a certain degree of standardization, although I'm not knowledgeable by any means. But I would appreciate it very much if maybe a budget note could be put in place to have somebody take a little look at that.
Well, and there is actually an ongoing and dynamic program within the governor's office that addresses that at this time.
I'm excited. Thank you.
Representative Krieger.
Chair Morgan. Jeff, how many members are on your MST team?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krieger, I'm hesitating here because I have the linkage to the IMST team has been accomplished through the governor's office, through the head of the monitoring program in particular, which has not come under OWEB's umbrella to date. I've never sat in front of the IMST. I work with the chair frequently, so I believe it's five members, but I'm not absolutely certain. I know that two of them will be here tomorrow to talk to you. But I can tick off names, but I've never done a total count.
Follow up. How are the costs of $400,000 incurred?
The cost for the IMST is set out on section 4 of our budget book and is a base level. Actually, the answer to your question on numbers is probably right there in that.
What page is that on?
Section 4. It's labeled IMST on the binder.
Okay.
The $400,000 base budget for the IMST that's housed in finding it okay. There are about three pages on page 3 of that presentation materials. There's an identification that was set out to allow each of the team members on the IMST to devote 20% of their time to the science team. Shortly after the science team was up and running, my understanding is there were discussions between legislative leadership and the governor's office and the science team members and Chair Norris that some of the responsibilities and expectations that were being placed on the team were exceeding the capacity to have them work at a 20% time. And essentially the way that IMST is budgeted, we buy out a percent of their time from the university where they work. And their responsibilities of their position are then backfilled so that they can then devote full time of that measure to the IMST Oregon Plan requirements. New budget was a reconstituted budget was put together that increased the commitment of the members' times to one-third, I think 33%. And there are seven members. And they are seven members that I think all but one are at Oregon State University. And they're Logan Norris, Stan Gregory, Bill Piercy, Jim Likatowicz, Wayne Elmore, John Buckhouse, and Kathy Kavanaugh.
And we pay, the university gets the money for the time that's taken from the university?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, I have in place an interagency agreement for transfer of funds from OWEB to the Oregon State University. That sets out the terms of the agreement for payment of services of employees of the university that will be that reimburses the university for one-third of those employees' time plus I believe it's three technical staff and some graduate assistants that support the science panel. And that is the arrangement. So to date, and the last biennium, OWEB has been the funding mechanism for the panel. The panel has worked directly with Governor's office in structuring reports and expectations of follow-through with agencies based on the science team reports. And their charge is set out in statute.
Representative Krieger, the IMST is scheduled to be here tomorrow as part of the public testimony that we're going to receive. So that would be an excellent chance to get all this information directly from them. Further questions or comments? Please proceed.
If we go back to the grant program tab, and that would be section 2.1, 2.1.3 talks about activities that we've funded, and we discussed this a little bit yesterday. The kinds of activities, I think George Brown from my board talked to you a little bit about the types of activities that are funded and how we've categorized them. And on page 3 of that section, 2.1.3, you can see that we break out our grant program into grants for capacity and then grants for restoration activities. And grants for capacity are watershed council support, watershed assessments, education, technical assistance, monitoring, action plans for councils. The grants for restoration activities are principally the on-the-ground pieces. I had a wonderful set of slides for you that we were going to tack on yesterday if we had time and that we're going to do today, but unfortunately the slide projector disappeared last night along with my carousel of slides, so we're looking for them right now. But tucked into your binders were some handouts that went along with the slides, and I had only thought that I would spend 5 or 10 minutes just kind of going through them, but this is a new enhancement to our database that we're very excited about. I haven't even had a chance to put this in front of my board in full color yet, but essentially what this clipped together set of handouts does is break down for you where the money is going and general breakouts first in between on that first page between capacity grants that are in red and restoration activities, and then by each of OWEB's 5 regions. And then as you page through, we then can break out among those capacity grants, what did we spend dollars on in the North Coast? What types of, how much went to council support, how much went to monitoring, et cetera, in each of the areas of the state. It is, as you flip through, has the capacity to give you a sense of how dollars are broken out in each of the 5 regions, how much money we spend on capacity kind of activities as opposed to on the ground, and among the on-the-ground dollars, which of those 11 types of project categories are we expending money on, and how does it look? I think 3 pages back, and I won't lead you through all of these, but 3 pages back is a great example. It shows the 9901 total grant expenditures by OWEB by region for restoration activities. And you can see the 11 categories that George Brown ticked off yesterday and that are on the page in our binder, and get a sense by the pie charts just about how they break down between categories. We're finding this to be a real useful tool. As a manager of the program, just in the last 3 months that I've begun to have this database in place and accessible, I can begin to ask questions about how the expenditures in certain types of restoration activities are actually matching the limiting factors that we have been told exist in a particular basin or a particular watershed. And that really is the stepping off point, I think, for an effectiveness monitoring program, for us to be able to begin to match whether our investments are addressing the limiting factors that are impinging our ability to recover fish stocks or actually have sustainable, healthy watersheds.
I'm sorry, Representative Blow.
I apologize for asking this question. It's probably obvious to you. The small segments that the 4 major areas are divided into, Can you tell me what units those might signify?
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, those would be, that is not actually a dumb question at all.
That's merely decorative?
I believe they are some demarcation of watersheds, but it's not, they are not whole watersheds, because there are not, I don't believe that many. I will get you an answer to that question. On some of those.
They're not drainages either.
I'll just ask a question.
I'm not sure what she usually look like. They may be the fourth field hydrologic unit, which is a jargon for basins that are defined by the USGS and Water Resources.
They're based on the hydrology of the watersheds that exist, and
I would appreciate.
I know if you page back a little ways, you can see the individual watersheds are the lines. When it's rolled up to a statewide perspective, I'm not certain that we have just the individual watersheds demarked on those little lines. When we are looking at individual regions.
Yes, they are symmetrical. They are congruent.
Okay, well then those are probably fifth field hydrologic units, which are basic watershed hydrologic basins that we group activities around. And you will hear us talk about watershed councils that are built around undertaking activities in a portion of a drainage basins. And drainage basins are large collections of individual watersheds where the water is draining to a certain stream segment.
I appreciate that. Madam Chairman, I would love to have these fifth level hydrological reports for my district, so that I can have a better feel for some of the restoration and enhancement projects that might be taking place. We have a lot of wetlands that are in jeopardy in my district, and this would be helpful.
There are some interesting ones as you get back further that break it down by the regions.
And Chair Morgan, Representative Lowe, we can easily provide it by county. One of the sorting factors that I have is the capacity to look at all of the projects that were undertaken in watersheds within particular counties and break that down by the activities as well. Accompanying this that we've been able to do just in the last few months also is a spreadsheet that identifies each of the projects and the kind of project activity with a very brief discussion and the dollars that were attached and who is the applicant.
I'd love to see that, especially broken down for my district, if that's possible.
We can do our very best to get as close
but
to the
But I realize that you're a little
possible.
Bit busy right now doing this. This is a higher priority, but when you have a moment, and if it doesn't take too much staff time, that'd be great.
Chair Morgan, may I ask Cindy Cry to join
Absolutely.
Me at the table? And Cindy is, as I mentioned yesterday, my fiscal manager that's on temporary assignment, and she's got some of the supporting materials so that I can tell you what I have at my fingertips and what I don't. One of the interesting things that these maps offer also are the ability to look at the rough location of different projects. And so as scattered throughout for each of OEB's five regions, we've done a little bit of a plotting of the projects so that you can get a sense geographically about how the money how the money is being spent on projects and how they are distributed within a drainage basin or within an area of the state. And I think that the lessons learned from me in looking at that is that by and far the vast majority of all of OEB's grants are for projects that are being undertaken on private lands, and that there's a very good distribution across the geography of the state, and that the grants do reflect local priorities, that the types of projects that are being undertaken, if you look in the eastern region, which is at the end of the stack, are different types of projects in terms of the emphasis of the dollars being spent than those being spent in the southwest part of the state. And that, I think, is a direct result of the regional screening that we put grant applications through, so that when grant applications come in the door, we don't look at them and make funding recommendations based on Salem staff. The first thing we do is push them out to regional review teams in each of the five parts of the state that are comprised of individuals with different disciplines from different parts of that region who read all of those applications and then combine as a group to make recommendations to the board on how they can be improved and how budget should be developed to fund them. If the slide projector shows up in the next couple of days with my carousel of slides and you want to spend the time, we can spend 10 minutes and do it on the wall and talk a little bit more about this.
But. Well, I hope you cross paths with your slides again.
I would like to, and also in the nature of cooperating with other agencies, we were using Water Resources Department slide projector, so I'm sure they're going to want. So I do hope
that
I
that wasn't
it.
The kind of sharing of infrastructure I had in mind.
I understand. Chair Morgan, Representative Lowe, just as one last piece, if you turn about two more pages into your binder, we tried to roll up all of the colored sheets into one page in your three-ring binder that is in black and white, but it at least points to comparing restoration and capacity grants and general bar charts so that you can grab hold of a little bit of what's happening around the state. This was all, for me anyway, an important baseline as part of putting together the budget packages that we have. And I am, unless you want to spend time on the next portion of the binder, which relates to budget notes that were put in place in the last legislative session, I'm prepared to move on and discuss our policy option package number 112. Policy option package number 112 is found at section 2.2.3. It is for Watershed Council support, and this package was essentially designed to dedicate a sustainable base level of funding to support the capacity of Watershed Councils around the state. And really, it works on the basic premise.
Where are we at? Excuse me, I'm lost.
We're at page 12 of section 2.
We don't have a section 2.
We're in the grant program tab.
Never mind.
Just moving straight through that section. We should have put global numbers on these pages.
I'm here.
Section 2.2, and then we're at point 3 of that section.
Got it.
The Watershed Council support package was put together to augment what is in our base budget, which is $2.4 million for council support. In 1999-01, we augmented that with an additional $1.7 million in federal funds. The essence of what this budget package does is replace the temporary federal funds with a long-term permanent source of funding from Measure 66 in an equal amount and maintain the funding for Watershed Council support in the upcoming biennium at the same level of support that was offered in the 1999-01 biennium. And this is premised on a couple of things that I think are pretty important. And the first one was, I think, already stated by Representative Krieger earlier, and that is that councils that are supported by coordinators are more effective than councils that aren't. And the second one is that if you budget stable funds for core support for councils, then you have more effective coordinators, and that whatever the funding source is for watershed council support, as we're asking more and more of watershed councils, I feel strongly that we should try to provide a source of funds that is that is going to be stable over the long term, and that the federal grant monies that we were using to provide an infusion of money in the last biennium, we know will not be a long-term source of funds available to the state of Oregon, and will be a more of a temporary grant fund, a source of revenue coming in. In exchange for providing a long-term core support, this package is premised on the OWEB board taking on some new a new direction in terms of funding councils. And that is first to establish a budget that we will then distribute among councils, and second to put in place a clearer eligibility criteria for the kinds of expenses that can be allowed in council support grants, and also a program to have more of a merit-based, effectiveness-based funding structure in the future that that supports having councils do some self-evaluations of how they're performing and how the council believes they're performing, and developing work plans that are very clear in the goals and objectives that will be accomplished in exchange for having federal or state support money flowing in the context of a council support grant. The board has started working on that.
Excuse me, Chair Morgan, what's the total number of coordinators that you're supporting?
Watershed Council grants are supporting around 63 coordinators right now. I think actually the number is 63 coordinators. We have fewer grants than that. We have 63 grants, but those 63 grants and 63 coordinators support more councils than that, because we have some coordinators that that work for more than one council.
Okay.
Senator Farioli.
I'm starting to feel a little bit like former Representative Denny Jones, who chaired this committee prior to my chairmanship, and I believe you served right after that. I never met Denny
as chairman.
Denny used to amaze people because he would remind agency heads about things that happened in the 1950s when he was also chairman of this committee. But when the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board came before the first Salmon Committee, which I co-chaired with Messerly, we talked about providing a grant program to help start watershed councils. And it was to essentially provide a nucleus of support using the same arguments that we're hearing today about you want to get professional people, you want to help these folks get started. We've got a big job if we're going to avoid a listening into the COHO, a petition. And the one admonition that came out of the first biennium in 1997, when the Salmon Plan was created, was that the dollars would go through GWEB, which is the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, with the admonition that watershed counselors would only be funded for 2 years, and that they'd have to find a local tax base or a local source of support for funding watershed councils, because we didn't want to create another bureaucratic superstructure that the state paid for. In the second biennium, we came back and asked, well, how did folks do looking for funding from other sources? And they did terribly. There just wasn't any, I think, watershed councils that were prepared not to request refunding of the grant program. But by that time, we had gone from less than 40 watershed councils in Oregon to over 85. And it was discussed during the 1999 legislative session that at some point in time, after we had gone through a curve of upticking in the number of watershed councils, it would probably be recognized that we had too many watershed councils in Oregon, and that maybe a basin-wide watershed council approach would be better, and then in case it would be like 19 or so. We also did a pretty good exploration of the relationship between watershed councils and soil water conservation districts. And the soil water conservation districts are older, stabler, elected by the local communities, and many had a tax base. Watershed councils just seemed to proliferate overnight. So they were kind of different entities, but focused on the same objective. I don't have any question in mind that without the funding, the watershed councils would be forced to consolidate or they'd collapse.
Well, and I would interject, too, that what changed the discussion radically in the 99 session was the passage of Measure 66.
And, which was a guaranteed funding source. And we got the listings. All the listings happened that we were trying to avoid.
I guess the preface, that's a long preface to a short question. The question is, are we, in fact, going to institutionalize the Oregon Plan by creating a new bureaucracy funded by grants? And is there any intention within the new Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to consolidate watershed councils and to find a funding mechanism that isn't grants or appropriations from the legislature?
And I think that those are real critical issues to the future of the agency and the future of the Watershed Council program. And it is also a good segue into a discussion about performance measures for the agency, which is something that I'm real interested in, because I think that one of the things that struck me about the Watershed Council day at the legislature here was the increase in the level of discussion about the need for more administrative people in the Watershed Councils. And I'm thinking, are we going down a predictable path here where the first thing that we're going to, we've committed to fund Watershed Council coordinators in a certain number of areas. We're having to be very careful that the path we're going down isn't to divide the state up into smaller and smaller watershed councils with more and more coordinators on the state's payroll. And then we have to also try to avoid the path of having every coordinator have a paid assistant at some point in time. And this is, I think, an interesting discussion that in my mind comes back to trying to have the department or the agency come up with some kind of performance measures that talk about how much of the money is going into the administrative side of the program and what kinds of things are being done to try to minimize that aspect and maximize assessments and the ranking of priorities within the watersheds and the actual funding and working through the projects that are identified.
Madam Chair, I can try to respond to a couple of those things because I think that your thoughts, both yours and Senator Farioli's, are similar to discussions that the board members have individually talked to me about and collectively. This approach to Watershed Council funding does mark a shift. This will be the first time that GWEB or OWEB has identified a budget that would be made available for council support in total, and then sized the council support, the dollars that were distributed based on a budget, as opposed to looking to see what the need was that was identified and then looking for the fund sources to cover it. And I don't know if that sounds like a big shift to you, but from the ground up, looking at the state from the perspective of the councils and so forth, it was a huge shift, because the first thing that happened is that we put all of the councils and said, if you want money for the next 2 years, then you'll need to submit a single grant request with a budget of how you'll spend it for that entire 2 years, and you'll all be submitting it at the same time so we can evaluate it across the state and size the way we'll respond. The demand that came in was for $5.8 million in funds. And this, as I said, was the first time that we looked at it and said, well, it's not realistic to look for the demand being met, but to try and size that demand to fit the resources available. I do think that the two things you identified, Senator Farioli, as the change from the formation of Watershed Council in the state and are the right ones, and that is the increased listings and the response of the Oregon plan to try and take the state's destiny in our own hands and how we respond to those listings and do that in a way that has an added increment of a program that is beyond the regulatory baseline and that looks for some kind of mechanism to get voluntary efforts that will make a difference added on top of what the agencies can do. That was a real shift in the way the state was responding and how we were looking at councils and districts and what their role could be and would be in a statewide effort. And I also think Measure 66 passage was a big shift because that identified money that was earmarked for the types of efforts precisely that watershed councils and districts are engaged in. And because of both of those things, when I came on board at OWEB, I looked at it and could not see where in responding to the demand it would go. But at the same time, didn't feel like we could sit in Salem and OWEB and say we should only have 93 councils or we should only have 72 councils in this state without having them become bureaucratized. And so in the nature of trying to honor the spirit of having these be homegrown entities, we're looking at the funding, at the source of funding, as being the linkage between the state and the councils, and saying if we are willing to commit X number of dollars to fund watershed councils in the state, and if we come up with very clear performance-based standards for councils to be able to access that money and go through a process that is open and transparent, councils can come into that process, or they can look for other fund sources, or they can choose to be totally independent of the state funding source. And we do have a number of councils that are independent of any state funds. We can have as many watershed councils as folks want to form to take on community business, but the dollars that will flow to it will then be connected and grounded in a budget that's based on a biennium allocation. To me, that I think cuts some pretty good middle ground in honoring the individuality of councils and how they want to interact at a local level, but at the same time provide the opportunity for some long-term support for core needs, so that we have the chance at having those councils that rely on staff in order to be effective, know where it's coming from, and that over a long term, that if they set their work plans and they're effective in implementing them, that the state's getting something in return for the investment, and the council can be relatively assured for a two-year time frame that it'll come to them. I think that kind of structure is different than if we were to make them look more like an agency and say that there were certain functions we were going to ask them to perform and require them to perform, and that we would fund whatever it takes in order to accomplish those missions. This budget does stop short of saying this is what we want any watershed council to give us in the form of projects if they're going to be funded. But it does put us in the position of getting some accountability when we do invest in council functions. I don't know if that addresses any or all of some of your concerns, but that's some of what we've been thinking about.
Follow up, Senator?
Well, Madam Chairman, I think the observation that this is a key or an elemental change in the way the watershed councils approach finding resources is accurate. It's a fundamental change. Maybe the legislators in the original Salmon Committee were naive to think that they could respond to the need for voluntary watershed councils to respond to the requirement to do a plan that would support the Oregon plan or be part of the Oregon plan without having paid professional staff. The original intent was just to give them the capacity to get through a relatively short period of stress, help them organize, and possibly find community-based mechanisms that would support the watershed council, who are all volunteer landowners in the watersheds. But that was the intent, and that was I think if you go back and look at the enabling legislation, it's framed by statements like that. You know, we don't want to create a new bureaucracy. What we're trying to do is help these people through a short period of stress caused by the ESA listing and the need to get their 10-10 plans together. And a watershed council coordinator would help act as a facilitator and a focal point for processing paper. And let's put up a grant to process and let them get through this period. When we came back the second time, after admonishing folks, you're only going to get this for 2 years. There wasn't a single watershed council that had identified another source. And so we kind of bit the bullet and said, okay, we're in deeper than we were before. Now we've got the listings, and we kind of let the thing turn over again. Now we've got a whole bunch of folks who consider these watershed councils facilitator positions their job for the state of Oregon. And so, in fact, we have another 65 or so employees that will be institutionalized under the Oregon Watershed Enhancement banner, and they will be in the system 50 years from now, because we're never going to get to a period where we don't have watershed management requirements that will need to coordinate agencies and landowners. So, you know, I think the thing is that this is in fact, an institutionalization of the Oregon plan that also institutionalizes a certain overhead that comes with it, and it means that we'll have permanent watershed councils, as opposed to the vision where they would be a rapid rise of watershed councils, possibly numbering up to 100. And then, at some point in time, people would realize there's a lot less work to do. Once the river reaches are organized into river segments, into tributaries, into river basins, then there'd be need for coordination at a basin-wide trophic level. And maybe these create a consolidation down to about 20 watershed councils, which would function along with the soil water conservation districts. This is a departure from that kind of vision of a rapid rise and then a period of accomplishment followed by consolidation back down to a reasonable level. And if you make the financing permanent, you'll make the bureaucracy permanent as well.
Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger.
I think what I saw happen, we had some pretty good people as watershed coordinators 4 or 5 years ago. The uncertainty is whether that job was even going to be there. I assume if you went back and look at your records, you see quite a turnover in the total number of coordinators that we've had. And then when the Oregon plan came along and the ESA listings, in order to function and to have salmon seasons, to do this and operate hatcheries and to address all the things that landowners were supposed to address, it became more of a necessity that we had professional people there doing that. So I think the mission changed from they envisioned it when they adopted having the old OWEB for the Governor's Water Enhancement Board. I don't think we're dealing with the same animal because the issues they deal with, maybe the reason they're there is even different. If there were no watershed councils, where would we be? Is it something that's necessary? Maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Well, I think you could ask the same question.